your home for 7 inches of snow 2 days after a burn warning. Hello, howdy there, Third Winter. You are the worst. Semi-live from a studio, this is View from the Bleachers. I'm Eric.
I'm Aaron.
Yeah, guy. How you doing?
7 inches of snow.
That's, you know, I was looking at the weather for the next couple of days. And so Thursday night into Friday, supposed to snow like 6 or 7 inches, allegedly. That's what I saw. But I also saw, you can turn that, my phone said a burn warning in effect for today because of the humidity and wind and all the things. Yeah, what a strange...
It's Wisconsin.
That's a Wisconsin week. It really... And it was 50, super nice.
It was 60 at my house a couple days ago.
Yeah. No, it's third winter. That's why I said the second spring is really nice. Third winter is the worst because I've put away X number... I took the plastic off the windows, man. Like, what are we doing here?
Whoa.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
You're the one that cursed it.
I accept the responsibility, but I don't like it. Yeah, no. So that's the sport we're playing for end of February.
I didn't even look at the forecast.
It's just a blip. Just some rando blip, and then, yeah. Yeah, man.
I knew it was going to snow up north.
This is why we do the weather.
They're talking like 2 feet of snow up north. But
yeah,
anyway.
No, it's gonna. Yeah, that's it.
Anyway,
well, that's why it leads me right into talking about sports that I. It's spring training.
Yay.
Spring training kicks off in the Arizona. We're going down Arizona and in the Florida. All of the baseball has started. Spring training pitchers and catchers are reported last week. I believe next week we start. You know, I want to say they kick right into games. Like, if you're looking at the schedule.
Yep. They got the Twins are playing this Saturday already.
Wow. I mean, I guess they're probably in better baseball shape than you and I are in. So it makes a lot of sense that they'd start, you know, because a lot of these guys.
Ooh, that's a big roster.
You're talking, well, it's a 40-man roster, and it's a 90-man invite to spring training.
Oh.
So you're getting as much. It goes from 90, and there's no cuts. It's not like the NFL. Basically, in Major League Baseball, you've got the 25-man roster, you've got the 40-man active, and then the whole rest of your minor league system, which is hundreds of players, are all sort of a practice squad. They're all on their way to getting a chance to be a major leaguer. So, yeah, the beginning of spring training, you're going to get non-roster. You're going to get guys who, like, the names to baseball fans kind of sound familiar because, oh, where'd that guy go? He's been out of the league. He had an injury. He hit 220 last year. So he's they shows up on a lot of these teams' rosters. And because spring training takes place where all these teams take the half the league is in one place, half the league's in the other.
Sure.
There's a little bit of roster movement. You're seeing some cuts and trades and yeah. So I am excited for spring training.
I'm looking at that roster and I know three names.
Are you looking at the Twins or the Brewers by
Twins?
Okay. I was going to skip. I want you to do me a solid then. I was going to ask pre-show, but I was going to ask you to name three current Minnesota Twins. I was going to just do that. I'll even let you look at the roster so you could say, oh, that's a real player.
Well, Byron Buxton is one I knew.
There it is. Where's Juan?
I've heard of Pablo Lopez.
Good. Yep.
Was he actually a Twin or did he get traded?
I think he got traded also. I was going to ask you to pick your favorite Twin for the year just so we could follow, kind of like we followed a couple of your Lake City, White Bear Lake players from Minnesota for the Wisconsin guys.
Give me a week to do a little research and see if anybody actually from Minnesota.
Okay, local. I like the cut of your jib on that one. I will give you a week, a little bit of homework, scroll through that 90-man roster.
I just got to write it down and make sure I remember.
That's okay. No, we'll talk about it probably right before we do the show again next week. Byron Buxton is the only real player I can tell you I recognize from the Minnesota Twins. I will follow them a little bit closer because I'm a baseball fan and I'm a sports guy. There was a time where I followed Joe, but it cut off somewhere around Joe Mauer for me as a Twins fan, which now goes 10 years because pretty sure he's in the qualifies for the Hall of Fame neighborhood.
You don't even want to know the last time I really knew the roster.
I can name them. I can name those players. I can name you.
What year?
1991.
Yes, there you
go. It was the Scott Erickson year. It was the Kirby Puckett year. Yep. It was the Dan Gladden, Kent Herbeck.
Yep.
Oh man.
That's about it, though.
You're going to make me go down. No, we're not going to. No, we're going to stay on track. Name that player for 28 minutes.
So how about the Brewers? Are there any big news on the Brewers? Have they traded?
The Brewers, since last year, They won, well, last year, of course, if you were a fan, they were 95 games. They won a record, franchise record last year, 93, 95 games. They beat the Cubs in a postseason series, which felt like, for me, winning the World Series. Sure. I didn't expect them to beat the Dodgers. They most certainly did not. The Dodgers looked better on paper and on the field, and as a result, you know, so the Brewers were the fourth best team in baseball.
But they won a playoff series.
For the first time in a very long time.
That, yes. And if I remember right, that's really all you were looking for.
That was it.
Hoping
for. From when the season looked like, hey, this is a playoff team and for real. Yeah. No, that was for me. That last year was an A+. I don't want to, you know, knock not winning us, not beating the Dodgers or whatever.
Sure.
It was an incredible year. Statistically, the Brewers were amongst the best in baseball of scoring runs and preventing runs, all the metrics besides hitting home runs in the postseason. Batting average in the postseason was terrible. Otherwise, they were great all the way through every phase of their.
So I'm gonna back up a second.
Sure, yeah.
So Pablo Lopez, the name I knew,
mm-hmm.
He's out for the whole year.
Out for the whole. Okay, that's the same as being traded. I guess at that point,
great.
You're gonna have to pick a different player.
Great.
I'm sorry. Yep. I apologize for that. You're going to have to dig a little deeper. That's why we're giving you a week.
I just saw that now. Yeah.
So the Brewers, they finished first place in their division. So as a result, in Brewers fashion, they made some trades to save some money, move some. They traded Freddie Peralta. Freddie Peralta was the ace of the staff for the last 5 years. He was a homegrown talent. He was traded to the Brewers as a 19-year-old, made his debut with the Brewers. Pitched incredible in all sorts of spots, lots of big games. But he was coming up a free agent, and the Brewers are not a team that pays people $20, $30 million a year, so they traded him to the Mets. They picked up some really high-end prospects,
sure,
as you should for trading a player like that. They received a guy named Jet Williams and a guy named Brandon Sprout, the pitcher. Is going to be with the Brewers to start the year. He's got some service time in the pros. He's a top 100 prospect.
Okay.
And in baseball, you want to stack your farm system, of which the Brewers have the best in baseball. You want to give yourself the best opportunity. The best way to do that is as many blue chip prospects as you can find. The Brewers happen to have a number of them, four in the top 100. They traded for two of them. Jet Williams was the other. He's a really prototypical Brewer. 5'10", can play second base, third base, shortstop, any of the outfield spots, anywhere besides catcher, pitcher, and first base. So he will. They traded Caleb Durbin also to the Red Sox. He finished third, and Isaac Collins, who finished fourth in the Rookie of the Year last year. Traded, they're going to be fine. The Brewers have done a really nice job of identifying prospects, calling them up at the right time, playing defense, pitching.
Willem Contreras?
Willem Contreras is...
been around.
They just re-signed him in the offseason to a two-year deal. Yeah, he's the going... Besides Brandon Woodruff, he is the longest tenured Brewer. Maybe he's been there... Yelich. He's great. He had a down year last year, and he's still a top, I'd say, five catcher in the majors.
Sure.
The only real questions that you're going to have about the Brewers going into the year were honestly the same questions you had going into the season last year. Their number four through number six, seven starter. Their number one, Brandon Woodruff, Quentin Priester, Jacob Mizorowski, all pitched incredibly well. They've got depth. Chad Patrick pitched well in the postseason. They've got a lot of guys that you could name that can be the fourth, fifth, sixth starter. They will need it every single year. You need half a dozen, maybe seven, eight starters. You just do. The Brewers have done a really good job of identifying that.
Sure.
There was guys in AAA last year that had really great major league records but ended up being kind of buried in AAA just because there was nowhere on that roster for them. Guys like Logan Henderson, Josh Gasser, D.L. Hall, Aaron Ashby, very random names at this point in the year because they've been around the Brewers a couple of years, but those are the names that you're going to see. One of them will step up. I think Quentin Priester is going to have a huge year. I think Kyle Henderson, No, I'll get it wrong. I'll have to look. Harrison, Kyle Harrison. He was part of the trade with the Red Sox.
Okay.
He's a top tier, top 50 prospect as a pitcher, left-handed. He's going to be that guy, too. He looks like what he could do is the same as Priester did last year. Quentin Priester won 18 games last year before it really came out of nowhere. That will be a question for the Brewers, but I think they answer it. And the other one's at third base. Last year going into the year, it was an interesting combination of guys who are no longer on the roster. They were all traded or cut because they got no real production out of them. Caleb Durbin got about 120 games at third base. Like I said, he finished third in the rookie of the year, but they traded him. So they signed some guys in the offseason here to one-year deals, average.
Sure.
But that's at least what they had going into the season last year was sort of that same neighborhood, but they have this year prospects. They have depth in AA and especially in AAA. They have the ability to, if they wanted to, bring these guys up and really get some young talent for the Brewers. It's been since Jackson Churio, they don't really follow that path where they take a 21-year-old and throw him in the majors. It's not like football. You want to get them as seasoned as you possibly can. There's so many financial reasons in baseball to wait, and there's so many experience to wait. You know, you're just, the more baseballs you see, the better you'll be at hitting them, sort of thing. But those will be a question at third base to see if they can get that league average, 250, 260. Caleb Durbin was a above average fielder and an average hitter. If you could get that somewhere at third base, again, they won 93 games last year.
Sure.
So that's the expectation, honestly, is somewhere for me between 88 and 95 games.
That's high expectations.
The experts, the fan or the statistical analyst guys, it was 88 games, which second in the division, one behind the Cubs, is kind of where they've projected them to be for the year. But I mean, I'm optimistic. I think Joey Ortiz, who was their starting shortstop all of last year, and he was the worst qualified hitter in all of baseball.
No.
The lowest on-base percentage, the lowest batting average, lowest everything for a guy. So you can't have that. There has to be a little bit better out of him because, if not, you have to replace him with somebody. They have prospects. Time to call him up.
Sure.
And Andrew Vaughn last year was a revelation. Former first-round pick out of the White Sox organization. Was traded for Aaron Civale halfway through the year, and he turned into the best power hitter that the Brewers have seen in a number of years. I don't think he's going to be a 300 hitter for the next couple of years, but if he can hit somewhere around 270 and have some pop at first base, Brewers haven't had that in their lineup for a long, long time. But that'll be a question mark for me to see that it wasn't just there's been a few of those, a lot of those in sports, where you see 9 good months out of a guy, you see 4 good starts out of a guy, and all of a sudden, well, that's our guy. And most of the time, it's not the guy. So I'm hoping very much to see something like that out of Andrew Vaughn again. And we're nothing but positive things to say. The Brewers made the trades they had to in the offseason for depth. They've done a really good job. I'm optimistic. Their manager, Pat Murphy, is the 2-time manager of the year. They're now,
who?
It's not Craig Counsell. It's not great. It's not Luke Fickell. No. It's Pat Murphy. He pulls pancakes out of his hoodie and eats them during games. He's the he's 2-time manager of the year. Seems like a really fun baseball guy to hang out with. That's the Brewers, man. We will get a little, I don't know. I'm probably not going to talk too much more about the Brewers unless there's some kind of injury or trade right up until the season, because honestly, stats in spring.
How are you going to watch them?
That's rough. Why are you?
Sorry.
That's a hard thing. Yeah, I didn't want to talk about. Yeah, the Brewers have made it so hard for their fans to watch, unless you live in the Milwaukee area, to watch the Brewers is so expensive.
Sure.
Or
is it like an offshoot of MLB network
or
something?
Yes, now I have to get the MLB package. I have to buy.
Did I see something about Brewers TV or something?
It's
part of MLB.
Yeah, yes. Mm, yeah, sorry. You are And if you're a really big baseball fan, MLB Network is great. You get all the radio games. You get to hear these regional, you know, AM broadcasts and stuff. Like, that's good stuff if you're into baseball.
That's good stuff.
But I don't need all of that. I just want to be able to watch the Brewers roughly, I don't know, I have time for about 20 games a year, 30. I listen to them on the radio is fine, you know, like you listen to,
yeah,
you catch them on AM, you catch them on wherever you can, wandering around. But nope, they've made it really, really hard. Which
you
can't
listen on Sirius?
That's how I listen to them.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I got you. It's really unfortunate because baseball has done a really good job of putting their players in the spotlight. They've done a really nice job of promoting their sport. You know, they've made it, guys like Shohei Ohtani, they've Mike Judge, they've made it really easy for the
Aaron Judge?
Yeah, I'm sorry, what did I say?
Mike
Judge.
Who's Mike Judge?
You do know who Mike Judge is. He's the MT guy. He made Beavis and Butthead. I was thinking of Mike Trout and Aaron Judge at the same time, and we just did that instead. Yeah, that's okay. So, you know, they've really dropped the ball. I don't know why. When these billion-dollar companies are fighting with each other, of course we lose. Of course. Sure. Of course the fans don't get anything. That's why.
Can't be worse than NFL, though.
It kind of is. Baseball's got a CBA coming up. Their collective bargaining is up next year.
Sure.
Their head of their union, the players union, just got resigned this week.
Oh, I heard about that.
We
don't need to talk about why.
None of it, but he really dropped the ball for his players union in a spot where you shouldn't. So baseball's just as messy as all the other pro sports.
Sure. Okay.
Let's see, what else?
Badgers?
Badger basketball?
Yeah.
Yes, please. Let's talk about Badger basketball.
Yeah, we have it for a little bit.
It ends up being like the third or fourth thing we talk about, and we gloss right over it most of the time.
It could be the second time. Their second thing now.
It's moved up. It's most assuredly moved up a touch. The Badgers are currently, they lost last night to Ohio State. Ohio State just stomped them.
Yeah.
It's a strange. Wisconsin Badgers are 18-8. They were coming off beating Michigan State.
Michigan.
Beating Illinois. They lost to Indiana. They've been an oddly, this is the same Ohio State they beat by 10 a month ago. They lost by 15 to this time around. They beat Minnesota. They've done a really nice job. They are currently sitting, they were, like I said, 24th in the country.
Yeah,
they just
played Ohio State on the 31st.
Right. And beat them by 10. A lot of ups. They lost to like a USC that they shouldn't have lost to. They've lost to.
But they're ranked, I see.
Up until, like I said, they lost yesterday. They play tomorrow. I'm sure they'll get knocked out of the top 25. They're going to be somewhere, sixth place in the Big Ten, ever-expanding Big Ten. I'm pretty sure there's 81 teams in this division. But they look great in the spots where they, at home, they're 13-2. They've had really big wins against Illinois. Really, they beat Michigan is probably the best team in the country, and they beat Michigan. They beat the best team in the country.
Sure.
They're definitely a tournament team. NCAA tournament is coming up in March. You got, about four or five games left, I think, of the regular season.
Five.
There we go. Nailed it. Nick Boyd has been a first-team all-conference. This is now the third year in a row that the Wisconsin Badger basketball team has nailed the transfer portal. 3 years ago, it was A.J. Storr, who ended up being a second-team All-Big Ten, transferred out to Kansas or wherever. Last year, it was John Tonji. John Tonji was a first-team All-Big Ten, led the Big Ten in scoring for quite a long time and is now playing in the G League for the Jazz. This year, it's Nick Boyd. Nick Boyd went from, I think it was Florida Atlantic. He played at San Diego State. He's one of those fifth-year seniors, and in the transfer portal, it helps so much. As much as you want blue-blood, five-star talent, it's just as important to have a 23-year-old running your point guard position, and that's what the Brewers or the Badgers have done these last 2 years at least, is taking a fifth-year senior, taking a transfer, and putting them right at the face of the team with great numbers. Nick Boyd's averaging 20 a game. as your lead guard, 23 and or 20 a game, 3.5 assists, playing really, really well. John Blackwell is, once again, he's a junior. He's out of somewhere out of Illinois. John Blackwell is one of the better defenders in the Big Ten, has been now for 3 years. He's getting up there near 20 points a game. The guard play is so important. You need certain things to win games in the Big Ten, in the NCAA tournament, and it's experienced guard play and dominant big and a big man who can rebound. Honestly, those are really all you need, and the Badgers have those things because Nolan Winter, they're junior from Lakeville. He's from Lakeville, Minnesota. Hey, yeah, there you go. He's averaging 13-9 as the big guy in their lineup. He's been now there a couple of years. He's just been fantastic. He's rebound. You know, you need a guy who stands there and gets rebounds. Well, they've got that. So okay. They've got a couple of those. They start two guys over 6'10". The other one is a freshman. They bring in off the bench an Austin Rapp, a guy that transferred in from Portland University. He's 6'7", kind of 6'8", does a lot of everything. Australian, New Zealander, somewhere in that neighborhood. The one big player that's kind of out of nowhere, because those first four guys, you kind of expected that.
Sure.
Bud Carrington is the guy. Bradenton Carrington. I keep calling him Bud. I don't know. I like the name Bud better. But Bradenton Carrington, he is a senior from Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. He played he played for 2 years at Minnesota, went to Tulsa, then transferred to Wisconsin. He never in 4 years really put up, or in 3 years previous, really put any big numbers together. Didn't really show to be anything. And on this Badger team, he is just the glue guy. Plays 25 minutes a game, gets you points, rebounds, kind of does a little bit of everything. They're going to win a game in the tournament. I think they make it a little farther in the Big Ten tournament. It's going to be kind of nice to see, because I have good expectations. They have a great coach. They're battle tested by the end of these tournaments. I think they can be a team that really surprises and becomes a sixth seed in the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight this year.
Something to root for.
Yes, please do. Yeah,
you ain't got nothing else right now.
No, that's the thing. The Bucks are nothing. The Bucks. It's more exciting to honestly talk about how the Bucks should be resting Giannis and tanking than it is to talk about any statistical things about the team. I don't mind if you because I mean.
That's been the big thing right now.
How else can you tank unless you're doing it on purpose? Because so many teams in the NBA, I've said before, in the NFL, you're either trying to tank for your quarterback or you're trying to win a championship. Anything else you're doing is a waste of time. And in the NBA, you're either looking for that top end Victor Wembanyama, number Cooper Flag, LeBron James. You're looking for that A-plus Kyrie Irving. You're looking for that winner,
franchise player.
You're looking for the franchise player. You only put five players on the floor. You need one of them to be that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
So half of the NBA currently, I could run through the... Yeah, if you're basically... The Bucks are trying to tank. The Wizards
the draft this year for the NBA, they're stacked in like the top 8, 10 positions.
If you have an opportunity as a franchise, if your choice is trying to either get a top 5 pick or trying to make the play-in tournament for the playoffs,
let's hit the 5 pick.
This is the year where you should absolutely be trying to.
Because if you don't get the number one, it's not the worst thing in the world.
But missing out on the chance to, if you're the Bucks specifically, and boy, I didn't want to talk about the Bucks, so we should talk about the Bucks.
There's nothing else to talk about.
The Bucks don't have any blue chip talent on that roster besides Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Sure.
They've got 15 NBA players. So like they're good, you know.
Sure.
Ryan Rollins is a point guard under 23 who's come out of nowhere to put together like 15 points a game. Kevin Porter Jr. is a terrible defensive player who's putting up 18 to 20 a game. That's not who you're building your franchise around.
Right.
Those players exist everywhere.
Did you watch the All-Star game?
No.
I heard it was
good because the players cared, because they did set up the the All-Star game to be
Wembanyama.
Yes.
Whatever his last name
is. And Anthony Edwards.
Yeah. But it sounded like they set the pace.
Well, there was three. Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about CBA real quick. We'll talk about, what were we on, the NBA?
NBA.
Yeah, the NBA. So you're either trying to tank for top-end talent, or you're just kind of floating around trying to win a championship. The Bucks did the thing where they win a championship. Heck, they even a few years ago tried to tank. They ended up with Jabari Parker, and it didn't work real well for them. So this is their last chance, really, because they don't have a lot of draft picks coming up. If they can keep losing some games, they have an opportunity to put talent on the roster that wasn't there. And then if you still want to trade Giannis...
Yeah, it doesn't matter. He's going to the Timberwolves next year.
You've got something. You've at least got something for the fans to say, oh, we can rally around this guy and this guy.
Right.
But no, the Bucks are not in a favorable position. They've really dropped the ball continuously over the last few years.
So Damian Lillard on the three-point contest won it.
He did.
He's back to Portland.
He's been on Portland's roster this entire time. He is under contract with Portland. He's just there. That's how you rehab. That's how you end up being able to rehab your injury.
No, okay. I don't get that. He was just at the Bucks.
No, they cut him. But he's not on the roster. So he can't dribble. He can't do any NBA things. But you never forget how to shoot.
Yeah.
You just keep shooting baskets. You know, it's.
I just thought that was weird. That was like,
it's an oddity. Yeah. Now the NBA did a really good job this All-Star weekend. A random no name won the dunk contest. Damian Lillard, who hasn't played, won the 3-point contest. The fun part was apparently they changed the format of the All-Star game itself,
again,
where you've got three different teams. There was the old guys.
I didn't watch nothing.
They literally called them the Unks.
No.
Because it was like LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard. It was weird to say he's an old guy, but it was all guys over 30. Then there was the World Team, which is incredibly deep, like Victor Wembanyama and a whole bunch of talent. Shea Gilchrist, the reigning MVP.
Right.
The MVP before him is on that World Team. And then it was the young guys from the U.S.
30 and under.
30 and under, basically. They played a round-robin tournament. If you lose two games, you're out, and ended up so that, you know, if you're the old guys, you don't want to lose to the 20 somethings, because them 20 somethings, this is their chance to rub it in.
Right.
They've been getting beat up by these old guys in practices and games forever. And the World Team, there's always been. As soon as they,
you got a minute left, by the way.
Dang, man, we really covered a lot.
Without really covering anything, really.
We talked about a lot of nothing.
You really talked about your Brewers.
That was it. I mean, this is spring training, man. Yeah. It's the spring is sprung. It's in the air, you know?
We can talk about the NFL next week.
Well, yeah, because...
I mean, there's just some weird stuff. I'm sure with the franchise tag opening up yesterday.
Sure, yeah.
It goes till March 3rd, so there's something...
There's a lot of cap casualties that happen, and this is also where you as a fans kind of start to put together, here's what we have to do in the draft.
Right.
Because you're... A team like your Vikings and my Packers are capped pretty well. Like, we're not making big splashes in free agency. Anything we do is going to be draft. So as a fan, you start getting into that.
Yep.
Wow, a minute. All right.
Well, not even now. You're...
clipping.
See you later.
Hey, man. Well, that was great. This is a great show, man. Thanks for showing up and doing this. You want to do this again next week?
You bet.
All right. Have a good one. Bye.